Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. This week, I have Kathy Donovan, another local runner here in the 757 Hampton Roads area. She is best known around here as one of the leaders of our pack training team. This is a team almost like what you heard about from Candace up from the RVA community, team that does half marathon, marathon training. They are out there. They are helping folks get work done. It's on a smaller scale than what is happening in Richmond. It's not something that's replicated, but this is one of another great opportunity where folks have to come to train to get that support both on and off the course, both in training and out of training. They have the support there. And so I wanted to have this conversation with Kathy and see what they are doing down there at Pack Training, what makes it so fun, what makes it so awesome, because here in Hampton Roads, I hear a lot about Pack Training. They are great. They are a wonderful group. And it's because they have found this way to do this thing where they support one another. They're there for one another. They're running. Yes, it is something that looks very different than just your local run meetup, but it is also a great opportunity and experience. So let's jump into this conversation with Kathy. All right. Welcome in, Kathy. How are you doing today?
I am doing great, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So we connected, you know, John Hartzell, who listeners, y'all will remember. John was on a number of episodes ago. John sent me Kathy's information and got us connected, and just seeing all of the stuff, especially that she does around here in Hampton Roads, wanted to kind of get her on to talk about, you know, what this podcast is all about, which is that communal spirit of running. So Kathy, let's get ourselves rolling. I like to think of this a little bit just as our warm-up question. What is your community and what makes your community awesome?
So I've had two communities. I was in the military. So my first running community was every command that I was at. You know, you always find a few people and you head out the door. But since I retired, there was that gap where I didn't have a community. And really it was when my friends kind of finally convinced me to run a marathon, that I joined the JNA training team. So the Wolf Pack has been my community ever since December 2017. And why is it awesome? Like you've heard from so many, and I hate to be somebody that is repetitive, but it's the enthusiasm, it's the encouragement. If you're struggling on a run, you've got somebody behind you who's going to come up and pick you up and carry you on. You've got somebody to talk to who just makes those long distances go by really fast. And we all share in each other's victories. We share in each other's struggles. And that's humanity. At its best, sometimes at its worst, but it's... That's my community, and I love it, and I love them. They've been great. So now we're the Wolf Pack. Now we're the Pack Training Team, but I'm still a wolf.
So. Yeah. And you know, that's one of the things.
Excuse me. Bless you.
And you know, that's one of the things that, as we look at community, that's one of the benefits that we often see and continue to see from a lot of these different communities, of that sense of wanting a place to be, and to continue somewhat a conversation that's been had on this podcast before, when I had Taylor Jacobs on and we talked about RWB, is this conversation of what it looks like in transitions of life to, so to say, not fall off the wagon Because I think with your experience in the military, there's that opportunity and that ability to get out and to run, and even in a lot of ways to have community embedded right there with you who can run with you. And so, you know, let's back up a little bit to kind of that point in time before you get into, you know, Wolfpack and before you get into pack training. But what was that transition like for you? Somebody who during their career relied on running as a source of, you know, self-care, relied on it as a source of just being in community with others who are in your vocation as well. So what was that struggle like for you as you retired from the military or moved into a new phase of life?
So, well, it was fun. I have to kind of, from a global perspective, to kind of have my free time and fill it. And I did. At my retirement speech, I said I was going to play for 2 years. Well, I played for 4 years. And then I wanted to be an EMT. And that's where I'm at now. But from a running perspective, I have always run since college. Because I was in ROTC and you had to.
Mm-hmm.
Never been coached, never been trained. Just, I was lucky enough that I was okay. I was actually pretty good at it. And it brought me joy. I also found through the military when I was running that it would clear my mind. And so when I was in a position, especially when I was impacting others' lives, I ran before I had a session with them, so that I was giving them the best opportunity and the best of me during that time frame. So shift after military, I would go to the bases to run with my friends, only to find the pop-up meeting or something came up. And so that I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I was just running around the neighborhood, which is great. I love to run. But it wasn't enough. And again, I never trained. So I'd go out for that half marathon, which I love, and, you know, die at mile 8 and 9 because I had no training. And I finally, through a friend of a friend, somebody said, Kathy, I met him through a neighbor, actually. And he's like, Kathy, what are you doing? You know, you can't run 3 miles and expect to run 12 or 13.1 or anything like that. So I started running with him. I found I had a partner in the civilian world. And that was amazing. And I started to get stronger for those longer distances. And that was great. But again, it was onesies, twosies. It wasn't consistent. No accountability. So then jumping into having a community with the JNA team and then PAC training team, there's accountability. There is people always there for you, helping you, encouraging you. And for me, training me, I had never done a marathon. I was a novice. You know, I didn't even know to question. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to do Boston. And they're like, you know, internally, their eyes are rolling and they're laughing at me. And they're like, Kathy, you know, you got to qualify. I didn't even know that. It's like, oh, okay. I said, well, then I'll do Shamrock. And that's how I joined the team there. So way off your topic a little bit, but that's kind of how I roll sometimes.
No, I think that's great, because what people see is how much the running community is there to support us, whether it is an organized community like it was for JNA, like it was for PAC, like those things, or whether it is just, you know, you're getting together with a friend or two on Saturday morning to log some miles together. And I hear during your journey that notion of, you know, when your life transitions and your relationship with a lot of the folks you ran with in the past is different, then what does it mean for you to then maybe find new expressions of community while also holding on to those old ones? And so what has it meant for you to run with other people? Like, you know, I think folks will listen to a couple of weeks ago, I had Paisley Landry on. And as the time that Kathy and I are recording, you know, that episode hasn't come out yet. But, you know, Paisley and I, we talked about this idea of like introvert and extrovert. Like for extroverts like me, it's really easy for me to just think like, all right, I'm going out and I'm going to run. And I don't really care who's there. But then introverts are usually a little bit more intentional about like, all right, I want to run. I really just want to run by myself. But then they kind of get the taste of community and then they, you know, so it's like that. So what was it like in your experience, running with other folks?
I would say you're vulnerable. Because, you know, I'm an extrovert and, you know, chatty Kathy. That's me. But I found myself, gosh, I'm entering this world where, you know, they're structured and I want to be like them. I want to be with them. And so at first, you know, I was kind of, all right, I'm just here. And again, I didn't enter it maybe as myself. I guess I did, because very military. I looked and said, okay, this is the time I have to run. Well, and it was 9 minute miles. Well, they had pacers at 8:30 and 9:30. I'm like, great. You know, so I ran by myself. And I'm like, well, this isn't fun. But, you know, I had to find myself letting myself be vulnerable, opening up to people that I didn't know from all walks of life. And of course, as you know, by doing that, wow, your heart expands, your brain expands, just the flood of information and joy comes out of those experiences. Yes, I'm with Pack Training, but I've run with FOMO. I've run with NERC. I've run with Tidewater Striders. I'm a member of Tidewater Striders. And I love that you just can keep going to all these different communities because y'all have the love of one thing, and that's getting out there. Run or walk, you're getting out there.
And so looking at kind of your entrance into this idea of community, you know, we talk about J&A, which again, like, because I think it's because it's like I'm Hampton Roads specific a lot of times, while I am working on branching that out, but it's really easy because a lot of listeners, you know, they've heard Jerry and Amy talk on the podcast now. They've heard, you know, between myself and a few other ambassadors who have talked about J&A and talk up J&A and all of that stuff. You know, one of the things that I don't think we really have heard a lot about is sort of this J&A training program that they used to have and they don't anymore. And folks will remember, you know, that's intentional to kind of give a little bit more focus to these local run meetup, run groups, run clubs who do things. But what was the thing that sparked your wanting to get involved with that J&A training team?
It was purely the fact that I had never trained for a race properly. And so a member who was part of J&A and also a military friend was the one that said, well, Kathy, you need to join this team. That's the only way. You've got to train properly. And so that I looked online and I joined them and off we went.
Well, and I think, you know, so the question then becomes is, you know, why do you do something like that instead of, you know, I know, and I want to preface this by saying there's nothing wrong with these kinds of people. But why J&A training team? So a local, even if it's a local race organizer doing a training team, you know, why not go online and, you know, download Hal Higdon, or, you know, I mean, there's always been those just like free, quick, easy to use training programs to get you ready for a marathon. You know, what was going through your mind in wanting to be a part of a group rather than just maybe go online, get the easiest thing? Not that, I mean, easy, yeah, probably not the best word, but just go and get a training plan and do it on your own.
Two things. Easy path, least resistance. He told me, I went, I joined. But I also knew although I'm disciplined, especially when I want to be, I also am not disciplined. And to do it on myself, something as I guess challenging as running, 26.2 miles, I knew I needed something more than just what I could research for. Now, and I did through the course of the training, I did a lot of research online while I was part of that training plan.
And that kind of then develops into this relationship that has continued even into today. And hearing about, a lot of these training groups because of how they structure themselves, because of sometimes how large or big groups are, you kind of split off and then there are these smaller, more manageable groups that form. So could you walk us through a little bit the beginnings of Wolfpack, what that looked like, and even moving in today into what pack training looks like as a run group and all of that?
Well, like you mentioned, JNA decided to refocus. And so, they had already been a training team before I came in. And I stayed with them until they decided, we're going to go a different way. And I was blessed enough that there were other running members who decided they formed a board and they're the ones that created Pack Training Team. So it was easy for me just to flow from one to the next. And we've kept the structure. JNA allowed us to keep the wolf and the logo. And we've also kept a lot of what they did because it worked and it was fun. We're a pretty social group, but we are a structured group.
Tell us a little bit more about pack training. I know a lot of our listeners like to hear, especially when I have folks who have been or are leaders of, groups of run, like run club groups or training groups or anything like that. So what does it look like for y'all in a regular week, month, training cycle? What are y'all doing together? How are you lifting up and supporting one another? What does your group look like? Is it a continuity group that it's pretty much always the same people, or do you have different people coming in throughout the season? So what does pack training look like?
Well, pack training, unlike some of the other running groups, you actually have to pay to join. And it's because we have insurance. We have a storage unit. Because we had so many things and it was getting tough for somebody to store it at their house, or it was inconvenient that it was at their house. And those all costs, plus the websites, run sign up, everything else has things that make our organization run well, cost money. Mm-hmm. We try to keep it very low, but one of the things you get when you sign up is a pack training shirt. And we try to get some additional swag, which is just fun. And it's a surprise for everybody when you sign up. In addition, you get training plans. You also get water stops. Mm-hmm. We have two water stops for every run on Saturdays. So regardless of if you're only going 3 miles or you're going to go eight, you're going to have a water stop. We support Bill's water stop. We do fundraiser every season to kind of, pack the truck and reload for him for the next season. And we're proud to always support him because, gosh, he's so generous to always have water and Gatorade out there for everybody. Pack basically has two seasons, a fall and a spring. So July 1st, you can sign up for PAC and it will cost $55. And again, that's just because everything has gone up in price. Mm-hmm. I still think that's a great deal. But then you will get a plan. We will start meetups in August. And basically, we still focus on the JNA race. So the August training is geared to Norfolk Harbor weekend. And then the winter into spring is, of course, geared to Shamrock. However, people want to do Richmond, or they're going to do other races in between, and that's great. They will modify their plans. We will help them modify their plans to be able to achieve, hey, Richmond's early, or I'm going to run one city, which is much earlier than Shamrock. And so we try to support that. We have pacers. We have pack leaders. So the pack leader is basically, they kind of oversee certain pace groups. And it's to make sure, hey, gosh, I haven't seen Kelly out here recently. You know, let me contact Kelly, see what's going on. You know, oh, Kelly's hurt. Kelly had a death in the family. Well, let's boost her up. So they're kind of the cheerleaders on the sideline, which is great, because we are getting bigger and that's exciting. Yes, we have repetitive people who come every single season, and I love that. But what's so exciting is when these new people come in and you get that new energy and you get the different perspective. And sometimes they're like, well, have you thought about? And we're like, huh, great idea. So I love that. I was honored to be the president. I am no longer the president. Holly Dalby is. And I'm already excited to see what they're going to be doing this next sessions that starts in August. And we're going into our fifth anniversary too. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't mean to. No, cool. No. And what is it meant for your training as a runner to have been a part of this group now for as long as you have been? What have you noticed in your own running journey as you have gone through these seasons, gone through these cycles of being involved with pack training?
Well, I think based on your goals, my dedication has been strong. It has been weak based on other life events. And so, I mean, if you follow the plan, you're going to rock it. You are absolutely going to finish, and you're going to finish strong, because we have speed work, we have intervals, we have strength training. And the strength training is something that you can do at home. You don't have to go and do body pump. So if you follow that plan, boy, you really are. You can start from the couch to the end, and you're going to do well. But of course, life comes in, and sometimes, and I have found it, and it's reflected kind of in my performance as well. Sometimes I can't do this. We meet up on Thursday nights and Saturday mornings, which is great. And then you kind of have to do the other days on your own. And sometimes those other days, you know, just don't happen. But when I first joined, boy, and I told my husband, I am training for this marathon. That's my job. And that was it. He was right? He was a running widower. Is that what you call him? So, because I was out, I would do my EMS shift, come home and go run. So that was that. And now I'm a little bit more relaxed. I don't quite do that. I'm done with my marathon running. But I still like to do some longer runs just because I love to eat. So, and I think running is life, you know, movement is life. And you just need to keep on moving.
Yeah. And as you've gone through a lot of these years, you know, I guess we hear in your excitement for this, what is kind of holding you in there and keeping you around and continually encouraging you to be involved? You know, what are you looking forward to in this group? What are some little things that as you all continue to do all of this stuff together that you're looking forward to?
I look forward to new people and helping them if they have questions, being available just through your experiences. There is injuries, you know, we're all saying, oh, here's a great PT, here's a, you know, great doctor for this. It's sharing that information. And for me, seeing those people do their first 5K, do their first half marathon or their marathon, and just going through that process with them and then cheering them at the end. It brings tears to my eyes when they cross that finish line. It is so fun. It's trying to keep up with all the photos of trying to capture it for everybody. That can get challenging, but and that's what PAC does. We're all there. And as you've mentioned in your podcast with J&A, you know, you've got the cheer tent, cheer alley in Shamrock, and at Harbor, we have our tent right by, very close to the finish line. And so you don't have to be a PAC member. We are going to cheer you in because you are out there, and it is so great. I mean, I lose my voice every time, because of the excitement and, just fun. But anyway, so that's what I look forward to. New people, people that I'm comfortable with. That has a lot to do with too. I'm comfortable with meeting there, right? I wasn't as comfortable when I started, and and people have to recognize that. There are some people, unfortunately, who've, you know, we've not been right for them. And we try to delve into, okay, what did we do wrong? What happened? Sometimes it's personalities. Sometimes it's perceptions. And so, and we really try, when I was on the board and even now, I try to look at what is their perception and try to get on that level kind of view so that I can help explain things. You know, people may grumble, oh my gosh, why do we have to pay this much? You know, and I'm like, okay, well, here's why. Boom, 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 boom. You know, you try to kind of get, I like to know the why in things.
Yeah.
And I think by knowing that and having, we try to be very transparent. You can come in and see our budget. You can come in, you want to know it, we're going to give it to you. Because we want people to understand who we are and why we do things the way we do.
And so what goes into that work? You know, take us behind the scenes a little bit of board meetings, of your role as president, your role as just a longtime member of this group. What goes into those things of making people feel comfortable? And I mean, you talk about, you know, it's not for everybody. Some folks come in and maybe it's not the best fit for them, but you're still putting in the work of trying to make them feel comfortable. So what is that work that you're doing to help these folks feel comfortable or try and feel comfortable when they're training with you all?
So, well, when I was on the board, we would have in-person meetings, and then really we found that we're more effective by having Zoom meetings. And because we see each other, so we still have those offline face-to-faces at the Thursday nights or the Saturday mornings. But Zoom just was able to focus. We had an agenda, and we tried to just very efficiently kind of go through everything. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of that churn in the background behind the scenes. Did we pay our taxes? Did we get this out? Did we, you know, do A, B, or C? And then it's, how do we make it exciting? Our plans are out there, and we've added, you know, you can get online and see all the Disney plans. J&A is putting out training plans. We try to capture them all in our files, so you have access. If our plan doesn't work for you, there's others there. But everyone must realize that our Thursday run and our Saturday run, those distances are what our pacers are going to do. So you may have to do a 10-mile run and we're doing 8. So we'll encourage you, hey, go out early, get those 2 in, meet up with us and do the 8. Or vice versa, you know, whatever. And there have been times that other people say, hey, I'll do the 10 with you, so I'll come and join you for the 2. And that's what's also great. We want to try to get that communication out. We use email. We use Instagram. We use Facebook and the groups within, so that there's a lot of communication going on, especially within the PACE groups. But then there's a lot, you know, with new people, it's the training on the systems. How do people register? What happens when people have these issues or that issues? Who's the point of contact? Getting smart in all of the electronics that are behind the scenes. And then also we reach out or other companies reach out to us, like Direct Performance. We've had mm-hmm. them come and we learn from them. So we just, I think that's everything.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, it sounds like Run Club, right? It sounds like what a lot of people are experiencing with the added benefit of, you know, it's kind of like our typical, like, smaller Run Clubs combined with what we get from Tidewater Striders a lot of times, right?
Correct.
Except also kind of like on steroids, because, you know, Tidewater Striders doesn't always send out, you know, training plans for everything, all this stuff, right? And I think that one of the fears, I think, that comes with that is this perception of exclusion, right? You know, that you have, and that you have this price tag associated with it. And then, you know, I think especially sometimes we can look and see, all right, groups that are around together longer and then they're bringing in new people. You know, I think we see this in the professional community all the time when you have somebody new join one of these like established like training teams and stuff like that. And then a few months later you hear like, oh, well, it didn't work out for me. Like it wasn't what I was looking for. And so I imagine that, you know, in a similar sense, that there sometimes is a lot of that stuff that's going on there too. And so what are you, you know, what is that presence that you're bringing to the broader community? Because one of the things that we love to see is, and you talked about it, right? It's the pack training team tents. It is, you know, the enthusiasm and all that stuff. And so what are some of the things that even where CAC training is, they're a different kind of group that does have, you know, people pay to get in and they have very specific training regimens and all of these specific things that maybe isn't working out for everybody. So what is PAC training doing for the Hampton Roads community at large? Where are they? What are they doing? How are they embedding themselves as part of the community, even when admitting that not everybody is participating with us in this way, but we still want to be a part of Hampton Roads running?
Great question, Andrew. So last year, we took on kind of that vision of community and kind of running in the 757, running in Hampton Roads, Tidewater area. So for example, one season we had a bingo card and you had to go run with another organization. And then we wanted to develop that further. And we encouraged people and we were telling them, hey, Run OV is running this night, you know, and we trying to meet up with them. Like Tidewater Striders joined us several times.
Yeah.
And then the brew crew.
Yeah.
You know, they've been with us and that's fun. Or we've encouraged people, especially Orange Crush, right? That race.
Oh yeah, yeah,
Right. So a lot of the brew crew, well, they're kind of the leaders for it. And we've encouraged, hey, even though there's a conflict on, they do it on Thursday nights and we do it on Thursday nights, we're still like, hey, go down there, go do that. So we're trying to really encourage others. And sometimes, because there was a perception that, oh, if you were a pack, that was it, you know, couldn't be with anybody else. No, go run with all of them. Because they all have something to share and you learn from, and it doesn't have to be learning about running, but it could be learning about life in general, or you may be having a situation and, hey, been there, done that, you know, and you can get some feedback and some interaction on an other life issue. So we we also, water stops are a big thing. You know, people need to be hydrated even in the winter. And we love doing that. So yeah, we're structured, but you know what? We try to really open our arms and say, look, we have a full walker contingent. They're called Team Timeless. We have people who do intervals, and we've had, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, like the 12:30 pace group turned out they were all interval people. So that's what they did.
Nice.
But again, if you're not an interval person and you're a 12:30, there's a conflict. You know, we try to resolve it. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But that's just like, I think in any running club, you can go there and go, oh gosh, these are really, really fast, dedicated, serious runners. I'm not, you know, and it's okay for them because they're awesome. But you just got to find where your niche is. Mm-hmm. And then beauty. And as you've talked about it before, there are so many running clubs. Gosh, you just Google it and you're going to find a whole bunch. And we all offer different things to different people. And I think that's what makes us so great.
Well, and I think, you know, I mean, the fear is like, and this is where it's beneficial to talk to folks like Pack Training that deal with this because of how their club is set up, that it can be very dangerous to, like, the natural sense of being a run club is, you know, we are, and we deal with this at Runsimo all the time, right? We are Runsimo. We are a run club. And then it's like, well, yeah, but what about the walkers? And I'm like, we got like four or five folks who are out here walking every week. And it's like there's that barrier and that there's that boundary that we're trying to cross over and communicate. And when you hear from folks like, you know, some of these training crews who are getting together, like Pack Training, where there is a more like, it's a more visible barrier when people have to sign up, when people have to pay, when it's like, all right, here's your weekly schedule, all this stuff. And yet, because, and I asked that question because I know, like, friends, I know what Pack Training does, which is like the cool thing of talking to people who are in these run clubs that are around in my community, is like, I knew exactly what Kathy was going to say of where every place Pack Training was. You know, y'all run the water stop for J&A when they do their community events. Y'all help out at races. Y'all are there with Tidewater Striders right alongside of them, putting on some of these races. And you're even working with run clubs. And to say, like, that run club bingo that y'all created, like, it then became like a Hampton Roads thing. We're like, we were getting it, like, we were seeing it on social media, and it's like, all right, yeah, like, how am I getting around to the run clubs? Because it has us thinking about it. And there's such that cool intersection of when we are running together, we are not the sole people who are in this community. And to take it back, I think, to where you were when you got out of your military service, and it becomes, all right, here's what I've known for all of these years of, you know, I run with folks who are in the military with me and all of that stuff. And yet there's this huge, great running community that's all around you. And there's so many different places that we can get support. And to know that, like, if I'm at a race and I see a Pack Training shirt, you know, I know that, one, I'm safe because Pack Training's done their training and they're ready for that race, right? but I also know that they're going to also be right there cheering me on no matter who I am, because that's the culture and everything that gets presented around it, right? And I think that that's one of the things that we look at our running community. And no matter where we are in our running community, whether it's Tidewater Striders, whether it's JNA, Pack Training, Norfolk Run Club, NERC, Runsimo, any of these run clubs, that it's like, all right, yeah, if it's a Thursday night and I'm running with Pack Training. But if it's a Tuesday night, I might go to another run club. But then if, like, then you get to a race, and I'm wearing a Pack Training shirt, or like at races, like when I go to races, I've got my J&A swag on, but I'm not just there for J&A. Like, I'm there because there's so many people out here who are just doing awesome and amazing things. And so there's that intersection where, like, our little smaller pockets of community team up with the bigger parts of the community. And for you, how much does that fill you up as you're doing your thing, as Kathy Donovan is running marathon, half marathon, 10K, 8K, 5K, as you're running these races, how much does that spirit that you're seeing the impact that pack training has had beyond its group of people who are pack training people, how much does that fill you up?
A lot. But specifically, it's because the more you're out there, the more you're seeing others and you keep seeing those same faces. And eventually, you know, you get the courage or you have something in common automatically to talk about.
Yeah.
Or they come up beside you or you come up beside them during a race. And if nothing else, gosh, you're looking great. You are looking strong. Go get it. Having that said to you or you saying that to someone else, you know, that's what it's all about. I just, and it brings me, you know, joy. I'm, you know, you could probably define me by joy and hope. And I just think I don't have to be just pack training, right? Mm. I'm just Kathy sometimes out there running and it's like, wow, I see Dwight, man, he's at every single race.
He is.
How does he do it?
Always with his towel and like his orange shirt.
Orange.
Always.
Right. Well, and I know him now, right? You know, before he was that guy. And then you see him and then it's like, I need to know who you are. And you start, your community expands, right? Mm-hmm. Or your family. I'm part of the pack family, but gosh, I'm part of this whole 757 running community. And you just, right? It takes a village.
Yeah.
And that just, I don't know. I think it's, I get nothing but encouragement and excitement just even thinking about it.
Well, and for that to be said, it exists in that space of saying, you know, that community is not a monolith, right? It's not you're in or you're out. Mm-mm. You know, it's where, okay, yeah, we've kind of come together over here in this corner. And I think about it a lot of times in my context out here is, you know, when I moved back to Hampton Roads, and I mean, you know, folks know now that I grew up in Hampton Roads. I went to Salem High School in Virginia Beach and moved away, did my undergrad, did my graduate school. I worked in the south of Richmond area for 6 years, and then I moved back here. But I moved to a part of Hampton Roads that I was not familiar with. I moved out here to Suffolk.
Right.
And to see and to earnestly like reach out to like, you know, Tidewater Striders and all of them and to see like, man, look, the running community has like boomed since I've left. And it was already pretty awesome to begin with. But it's all, you know, over on that side of the Elizabeth River. And so we always say like, okay, here's our pocket over here, because there is like something happening here in like the Western Branch, Churchland, North Suffolk area that there's a need being met. But then it's like, it is like, we're part of that bigger puzzle. And so like we go places and we're like, well, we're Runcimo, but we're also Hampton Roads. We're the 757. And I appreciate a lot of the stuff from a lot of the other places where it's like, you know, we can get together and share and just, you know, experiences. And it is like you go to these races and it's like, you know, the usual suspects, right? You get Dwight, you got Elvis a lot of time, right? You know, I mean, and Kathy knows exactly who I'm talking about. And people from the Hampton Roads probably know exactly who I'm talking about. But you have the folks who are always there, and it makes the community that much more enjoyable. Because what we don't want to do, I think, in our communities is to get into that isolated point. And I think when we look at communities like pack training and a lot of those, to be real, like y'all have been leading from the forefront of what it's like to say, you know what? Yeah, we have our own little thing right here, but we're also not defined by our own little thing. We're out here, we're supporting, we're all around. And so, you know, for these people that are paying, yeah, we're helping them to reach their goals. But it sounds like to me, y'all have also done a lot of work to make sure that while you're not giving training plans out to folks, while you're not like, while you have specific group runs for those who are part of PAC training, you've also done the legwork of saying, okay, how can we help like the greater community reach their goals too?
So yes. And, but let me get just a little bit back into PAC training. One thing that we pride ourselves in is when you do have somebody coming in, we try to kind of team you with somebody so that they're kind of watching and helping you. So you don't get the, well, I'm here, but I don't know anybody. I don't even know what to start, you know? and so, and also having that clubhouse of Murphys, our informal clubhouse, it's nice that, okay, we're not saying, hey, join us at 30th and whatever, or, you know, we're always starting at Murphy's. People go, gosh, why are you always out there? Well, and
my problem
and
we is, have is changed gosh, it. That's a long way away from me.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you know what? We'll have people based on weather or whatever say, hey, you know what? I'm going to run with Kempsville today. Yeah. Or, you know, I'm going to stay in Norfolk today. We get it. We are okay with that. So, which is, I think, another good boost for many of the running clubs. That's okay. We just get life and we roll with it. I think as structured as we are, we're also a little bit laid back. We're very social. And I think what's fun and I've seen is branches off from some of these groups, and they'll go out and they're playing, the shuffleboard together, or, you know, they're playing sand soccer together, or they're, to see it spread from just the love of run to the love of being together, is great. So, and I will say, I need a shout out really to Ryan Conrad and John Hartzell for this whole community concept, because they're the ones that kind of allowed us and helped us to focus in on that.
Two names that have been uttered lots of times on this podcast.
Yes.
It sounds like y'all are in good company down there. All right, Kathy, let's hit these end of podcast questions. Let's get this final, getting close to the finish here. What is your favorite distance to run?
A half marathon.
I'm going to stop asking that question, because every time it is a half marathon, because it is unarguably the best distance ever. What is your favorite post-run food, snack, meal, whether it's an easy run or a race? What are you grabbing to eat afterwards?
I like chocolate milk.
All right. There you go.
I'm not a beer drinker.
Okay.
You know, right. If they had wine, maybe.
Sounds like a run club at a winery is needed here.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And then, Kathy, lastly, give our listeners a reason to find and join their local run club or group.
I'm an EMT. Truly, movement is life. You want to live, you need to move. And to be able to have organizations that open their arms to you, and most of them are free, just show up. I mean, we need to keep moving. So even if you're intimidated by the thought of, oh gosh, you know, I've never run, try it, get out there. We're going to start you slow. We're not going to make you, oh, go run 5 miles right now. No, we want you to do it smart. We want you to do it with no injury. And we're going to help you get there. So just, right? Like, that's why we even have those get off the couch run clubs.
Yep.
That's what we want. Just get out and join us and add to the love of your life.
Very nice. Very nice. Love it. As we are always encouraging folks, you know, there's just, it doesn't matter who you are. There's always just something, even if it's just one day a week, getting out there, running with community, the motivation that hopefully it helps. And hopefully, listeners, y'all have heard that from Kathy as we have had this conversation today, and that you're getting out there and going on the runs. And so, Kathy, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks, Andrew. I really appreciate your time so much.
What an awesome episode. Again, so great to get someone with Kathy's expertise, understanding of just everything that goes into this running community and what does make it awesome and what brings us together. And again, you know, listeners, you may be hearing a lot of this stuff from so many different angles, right? I'm talking about local running meetup groups to Tidewater Striders, places like Tidewater Striders and Richmond Roadrunners, which are these sort of bigger USATF groups, to these paid training teams. But I think that we're beginning to see and putting the blocks together as we're about 29, 30 episodes into this podcast of how much this importance of community is for each and every one of us. And whether you're getting and joining a meetup group, whether you're joining a bigger crew where you can get into races, or whether you're doing a training team or anything like that, you know, I think there's this idea that doing these things together in community really helps to build. I mean, you hear the progression of Kathy's story and finding folks to run with at every level, at every time, at every point, really getting into the spirit and mentality of just wanting somebody to run with and what it means to be driven forward in those goals. And it may not even necessarily be a faster time, but it can be a stronger time. It can be a more fun time. It can boost in so many different ways. And so what an awesome opportunity for us to hear the story of pack training, of Kathy, of all of these different things and all the things that they are doing. And so here at the end, I'd love to remind you, please help to support this podcast. I always feel so weird with this part just because, you know, it's the one time that I'm asking you to do something, but you know, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of effort that goes into this podcast, and I love offering it because I feel like it's an opportunity, not just for me to talk to some amazing and awesome community-oriented people, but also to share these stories with others so that we can all learn and grow together. And so, you know, like I said, I always break this down into second, minute, and minutes. And so if you can help in any one of these ways, if you just want to take that second, make sure you're following or subscribing this podcast so that it's right there in your feed each and every Friday when it comes out. If you just want to take like an extra minute or an extra couple of minutes, and if you're over at Apple Podcasts or Spotify and you want to drop a rating and review, help to rate and then show others what you love about this podcast. And while you're doing that, make sure to share the podcast with your running community, with others around you, so we can learn and grow together. And lastly, I have revitalized, I've revamped my newsletter, my blogging over on Substack. If you go to runandrev.com, you can subscribe over there. Again, that's something that just takes a minute. Just toss your email into the box, hit subscribe, and you will be coming along this journey with me. You'll see not just podcast episodes, but all sorts of other writing that I do around running, around community, and yes, even around faith. But if that don't let that tempt you off. Don't let that scare you off. Hopefully that's something, even if you're not interested in that area, you know, there's still a little bit, and you can even, you know, maybe hide it or just skip over. And if you go to runandrev.com, if you subscribe, you can get a paid membership there if you want to support my work, or if you prefer, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/runandrev and support me over there. You can leave a one-time tip or a monthly donation to help to support the podcast and all of the Run and Rev Run Club. It helps to keep the lights on. It helps to keep things going. It's another one of those ways that it lets me know that you're appreciating what I'm doing and what I'm putting out there. And so I'd love it if you would just take an opportunity, like I said, a second, a minute, or even a few minutes to do some of these things to help out and to help to grow this network and have others hear about community. So I hope you have a good week. And remember, make every mile count.